Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ada Marie Show. The Golden Oracle has a special gift for you today. As a thank you gift to her loyal listeners, the Golden Oracle is offering to take you through the looking glass to meet an aspect of your higher self. All you need is a mirror. This training has worked miracles in her classes and with her private clients. So grab your mirror and let's go. Ada Marie, are you ready?
I am ready. I am definitely ready. And I must say, I do want to say something before we go into the class, because I want to thank the ladies, that three of them, that have called in and have practiced what I said 3 weeks ago and are finding themselves becoming one size smaller in 3 weeks. And they all did it as a joke for each other. And
okay.
Now they have become one size smaller. So they're going to continue, but they have made up their mind what sizes they are going to be. They are becoming the size that they feel is good for them. So I want to say congratulations, lady. And for the rest of you that don't remember this, at the end of the class, I'll say it again. But right now, today, we have something very special to talk about. And we are going to talk about our ability to meet our spirit guide and our higher self. Correct?
Is that correct? Our spirits told us, yeah.
Yes, okay. Well, that too is a wonderful experience, because once people have that, and once they know that they can directly connect with their own higher self and their spirit, then they can become healthier, more prosperous, oh, any size they want, of course, but they can just think everything and know that those thoughts become things like shoes and glasses and slippers and dresses and good jobs and money. So,
and happiness and
happiness and,
peace,
and health.
Peacefulness and
yeah.
Friendship. Wonderful. Okay.
All those wonderful things when they come to the realization that those thoughts are the things, whatever they're in their head now is what they're dealing with now. Where they, when they want to turn those things around, just clean the slate. And dismiss them. Dismiss them as you would dismiss a negative person who come to visit you. Be polite and send the things away. And start thinking positive things. Like the two ladies who just become smaller. They too had to go through a period of time when they let go of a lot of things that they were holding on to. Grudges, frustration, anger, painful things that had been said to them or done to them. And over a period of time now, these women I've worked with over a year ago, and they've called in, and we've worked and worked and worked, but they determined to get rid of certain thoughts that they've harbored and felt bad about. And
okay, that's marvelous.
But you know,
so now what we want to do now is to get everyone. Does everyone have a mirror? I hope that
Okay.
is there anything, a little prayer or a mantra or anything that we need to do to begin with?
You know what I do is when I sit down like that, I clear my head. I say, okay. All the mundane activity of the day and the thought process is now put aside. I am now only accepting interesting and helpful and healthy messages from my higher self, from my realm of God that is the part of me that I can communicate with. And I do that, and then I wait. And usually, when you're in the waiting period, in the beginning it might be a little while, it might even go as much as a half hour, but what you are going to be receiving is all the stuff that you've just set aside out is out. and the new energy of feeling good about yourself, of feeling strong, of feeling healthy, of feeling happy,
mm-hmm.
all the sadness is going to slip away. So then the first thought you're going to have is, well, now I don't have anything to think about. But you do. You can see yourself perfect. You can see yourself successful. You can see yourself happy. You can see everybody loving you. You can see all these beautiful things that will come. And they won't all fall on you at once, let me tell you. They'll come in spurts. And then you'll see how your change of attitude has changed the attitude of those people. Because it's basically your attitude that makes people respond to you in the way you are today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your attitude now.
After we've all cleared our thoughts of all the negative things, what do we do next, Ada Marie?
Well, what you do next is give thanks. I actually have a little thing that I taught my students in my classes was to go to the sink. Once they've gotten rid of all that negativity, put some salt in your hands, get your hands wet, and wash your face, your hands and face with salt water to release, to stop, to put all that negativity to an end. And then I say, okay, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready for a new thought. But I always told the students that, now this is the process, this is the action. But I told them a month before we did the action that they had to sit down and write.
Wait a second. Wait, we don't have a month to go. We have people here waiting now to learn how to use this mirror.
Well that's what I'm going to tell them.
A month
before they do that clearing, they need to sit down with the mirror and very silently and very quietly, as they gaze into the mirror, feel the wonderful, wonderful energy that is coming through those eyes, those beautiful heavenly eyes, because those eyes are given to you at birth that you may see the wonders of the world and of God and of all the things that you have at your fingertips to work with.
Wonderful. Now, Ada Marie, my spirit guides have told
this great nation is a blessing in itself, and we all know that. So,
Ada Marie,
yes,
my spirit guides have told me that they are clearing for the people who are listening in and who called in to learn this wonderful technique. They are making a special dispensation and clearing energy of these people who are calling in today, so that they will be able to do this mirror meditation with you today. Mm-hmm.
And the ones who haven't called in and the ones that they share it with, because it has been shared and because that blessing has gone forward, their friends will be able to do the same thing. You see?
Uh-huh.
It passes.
Good.
As a blessing throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can get everybody in the world to be blessed because they can change their attitude from negative to positive and move forward in a wonderful manner, what could be more wonderful? What could be
great.
More wonderful?
Uh-huh. And
I mean,
now I have my mirror already.
Right.
And I'm looking in the mirror. Is that what
okay.
you want me to us to do, is to look in the
I
mirror?
Want you to just gaze into it. Don't,
okay.
Don't do a stare hard. Just gently gaze into the mirror and look at the eyes that look back at you. Now, I know people say, what do you mean by that? Because your eyes are reflecting in the mirror. Yes, they are. And they're your eyes, right? But if you are going to have a good communication on the mental level with those beautiful eyes you have, then you have to be aware that you are waiting for a response from what the eyes are going to tell you. And they're going to tell you something. They're going to tell you something. And that something is individual. In the beginning, it may be something sad or something that don't seem to apply to you whatsoever. But as you do this exercise daily for a few moments, now don't sit there all day like that. If you spend 15 minutes a day with this exercise, you will begin to see the changes in your thought process, because those changes are coming through the eyes that are looking back into your eyes. The reflection is going to give you insight and motivation and love and wonderful ability to be able to see truly what it is that is best for you and what it is that makes you healthy and happy and friends love you. Believe me, that's how it comes. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to dance. You don't have to take any pills. You don't have to. You just have to be silent and let the inner voice take over and the eyes to begin to see. You know, when you see somebody on the street and they're you can tell if they're happy, right? By the expression on mm-hmm. their face. And you can tell if they're good and kind by their face. Is their face like a nice face, kind face? It doesn't matter what the face looks like. Is it a kind, loving expression coming from the individual? That is what you're mm-hmm. looking for. You know right away if you don't want to talk to somebody, don't you? Don't everybody
sure.
know that? Pardon?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
well,
then we're looking into our eyes. And you are guiding us, and you are suggesting the ways that we can tune in, and
mm-hmm.
Okay, and then how long shall we continue this?
No, I wouldn't spend more than 10 or 15 minutes at one setting. Because you don't want to become hard. And if you want to be soft, then you're going to look as it's a privilege to look, and you're only going to look a few minutes. It's just like anything that you are going to do for a long time. Like you begin slowly, and you build your strength, and you make... I keep... To this day, after the years that I've lived, I have got books with notes jotted down every time I sit to be still and get a note. And I got this note. I got this one note that I just told you about, that these ladies had told me to tell you this. And I got that in my meditation just before the phone call. I went into meditation mm-hmm. at 10 minutes to 2, and I came out at 20 minutes after 2. So mm-hmm. I wanted to be clear, you see. I do that mm-hmm. before every show. Now, sometimes the voice will take over, and Ada Marie is allowing another stronger spirit to be able to give you information. And then mm-hmm. many times it's just me. So I have the wonderful ability to say, it can only be in a positive, loving way. And then anything that would come that wouldn't be that way would not be heard.
Okay.
You see how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I do. Uh-huh.
Yes. And
so
in
other words, you don't give up if the first time you don't seem to get anything. You just do it.
Oh,
you
no.
do it every day. Is that right? Or
right.
once a week? Or
well, you can do it every day because it's only like a 10 or 15 minute thing. And
uh-huh.
you know, if you're
uh-huh.
in a house that there's a lot of people or a lot of children, or you have a lot of responsibility taking care of a sick person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a certain time, and I used to have to do this because I'm a mother of 7, and I used to have to shut the bathroom door for my 10 minutes or 15.
Uh-huh.
And I just went to the bathroom, and that's how I got my few minutes in every day. Because I had to have it. I needed the strength. You come out of that, you feel like you're alive and that you're strong and that you're healthy. And even if you think you're coming down with something, you can say while you're in your own space with God, I refuse this. I do not accept it. I am in perfect health. That's it. And I do that whenever I run into something like that. I just sit down. Actually, I do it in the bathroom. Shut the door and say, okay, Father, now we have a problem. I have no need of having anything physically wrong with my body, my mental system, or my emotional system. So please, whatever this thing is that's harboring around here, remove it now. And I say that three times. And then I end up laughing afterwards because he probably heard me the first time. You know.
Yeah, that happens all the time. But you want, in other words, you're saying it basically to convince yourself that it has been said and has been heard.
Right. That's true. At one class that we were having, and it was a number of years back, and everybody was really biting it because jobs were tight and everything was just really, you know, everybody was really tense, careful. And I said, stop it. Stop it. I want every one of you to be silent. Pick a figure. Tell the Father that this is what you require. Did you hear the word require? Require.
I did.
You don't need it. You don't want it. You don't have it. You require it. And they all looked at me. I said, I want you to say that. Now, meditate. We're going to all meditate for a few moments on the word require. Because what does it mean? It means it's going to come from someplace out there. We don't know where. We don't care. Well, as long as it's legitimate, we're happy to have it. Right? Right. Okay. So everybody in the room was doing this. And I said, now you're going to take your left hand and your pointer finger, and you're going to point up to the sky, and you're going to say, Father, I am commanding, I require $10,000. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, done. Put your hand down. We'll go on with the class. Don't even think about it. So next week when you come, I want every one of you that received whatever it was you asked for to be able to repeat it. Well, all but two people in the entire 63 people in the class, all but two people had got their requirements, and some of them had got them on the way to the class that night. And the other lady, one of them got hers in the class, and the other lady probably would get hers on the way home. But you see, they had forgotten it, and that's what it means, let go. Let go and let God. The lady said, I've been praying and praying and praying for this every day. I said, stop it. If you give it to God, let him have it. Let him keep it. He will take it and he will fix it. He'll give you what is exactly what you need. And that's where people go wrong. I mean, you have to have a requirement. That's a necessity. But you don't have to carry it with you. You have to turn it over to God. We just had a friend who had a very bad accident, and people, 17 people called me that afternoon, and I said, okay, he's perfect. Turn it over. Give it to God. He's perfect. See him perfect. I'm telling you, see him perfect. 24 hours later, he walked out of the hospital. Now, how do you like that?
That's wonderful.
Happened.
Yeah. That is wonderful.
But see,
so the one thing that puzzled me was the word command. I mean, who are you commanding? You certainly don't command God. Are you commanding the energies, the earth energies, the abundance that is here?
I'm commanding the producing energy. Don't even get lost. When you command universal energy to fill this particular whatever, that's going to be car. It's going to you command it, and then you release it to the universe to fix it. You're not asking God.
Okay,
you're telling the universe
good.
That you, this is your
and then you release it to God, who can pass it on to the universe, we say.
Right. So to speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're working basically with the creative force and the healing energy of the universe.
Yes, we are.
That you're commanding. Good. And that makes sense because our requirements, when we have our requirements, we are able to give so much and to do much more because we're not wasting our time and energy on wondering how we're going to pay the rent or where we're going to get a car or how our needs are going to be fulfilled. So basically, I think what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ada Marie, but this you are reaching out to the great abundance of the universe.
Right.
And stating your requirements so that this abundance can be channeled to you. Is that correct?
And it comes directly because you have earned it.
Of course.
So, and you know, people say, well, why would God do? God doesn't do anything. He just is the strength that we have. And we give thanks for, and then what we require is what we send out the requirement of, and to our strength and our knowledge, and no doubt the positive energy will bring it to us. But if there's a shred of doubt, it will not happen. See, that's what's wrong. Well, it didn't happen today. Well, maybe it didn't, but one lady said that in class, it didn't happen. But 2 years later, she walked into class one day, and she said, guess what happened? And I saw her aura, so I didn't say a word. And and one of the men sitting there, he said, I think you got an inheritance for the exact amount you asked for. And there was a hush in the room. That's what she had gotten.
Uh-huh.
And she said, how did you know it? He said, the look on your face.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually read her aura.
Yeah.
But that was what happened. So you see, it might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. Maybe it'll happen the next day or a week. But it will come because you have put it out there. Every thought you have comes back to you. So be careful. Guard your thoughts. Don't send out a negative thought or a bad thought or a selfish thought.
Like maybe
just
I'm
like
guilty for asking something.
Yes.
Like maybe I'm guiltier for asking something, or do I really deserve this, or will it really happen?
Those are the
is
things
you've
got to quit doing.
Ah, good.
You can't do that.
Okay.
You cannot do that. Anything that you have, received, and not stolen, of course, you have received it through your own effort and your communication with your higher self. You have earned it. It is yours. It may come from another lifetime, but you have still earned it. That, like the lady that got the elephant, she laughingly told was telling her husband or her brother-in-law or somebody about this, and she said, you know, if I wanted an elephant, all I would have to do is think I wanted an elephant, and I would get an elephant. Well, it just happened that they were over there, wherever the desert is, where elephants are, and 6 weeks later, they delivered a baby elephant,
which she
had to send back. She called a circus, and they didn't have time to look at it, and they suggested that she return it, and she did return it. But, you know, her brother-in-law was just one of those funny guys. And he got he just laughed his head off because he said, you know, you said you'd like one. You're the one who said it. But he didn't get back. But it was funny because they came with this great big thing with an air conditioned whatever it is, trailer or van or whatever. And then these three guys get out, open the back of it and start pulling this crate out. She was screaming. She said, What? When she came to class, she told us all about the craziness. She said, I won't do that again. But it's true. Sometimes people make out of the ballpark statements and something happens. So, you know, be careful of your thoughts. Guard them. Take care of them. Know that they are good and positive and healthy and that they are not harming someone. Because it's very easy to have, okay, I just saw a person being put in a wheelchair, and I saw the person that it was coming to take her say, well, you're going to be in that the rest of your life. And I thought myself, what a horrible thing to say. Because that's not necessarily true. You know, but she scammed her with that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was wrong.
Oh, yes. Very wrong.
Right. But it's those kind of things go on all the time because people don't realize what they're doing when they do that. They don't really realize
You are
realize
so
it.
Right. Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So I think if people teach their children, if they will teach their children to be positive and see, oh, I'm very lucky this didn't happen to me, but you're going to be perfect again. You're going to be okay. And those kind of comments to some young person who is, you know, hurt is very good. It's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like the physical therapist that I fired after I had broke my hip, and he said he wanted to know my goals, and I said, well, before I broke my hip, I didn't have one single pain in my body, and I was running around like a teenager, even though I'm in my 80s. And he said, well, he says, you lived a charmed life, and from now on, it's a new ball game. And he said, this is how it's going to be. And I just picked myself up and walked out.
Yeah.
I said,
right.
No,
you didn't
this,
need
is,
to
this
hear
is
that.
Not going. This is not how it's going to be. Well, how it's going to be is the way God made me, which God made me perfect, and God made me with immense health and energy and enthusiasm for life, and that's how it's going to be.
And
you're
walking
around.
I
sure
right.
am.
You are.
I certainly
well,
am.
I have you on my healing every day. Everybody who calls in on the healing, the list is so long now, it takes me almost an hour and a half to go through every person. But
okay, would you please give your number so that people can write it down and call you?
Let's see. Ada Marie, 520-896-9510.
Great. And
I gave
what,
it wrong.
What time can they call you?
Listen, I made a mistake. I said 520-896-9510. Right. I made a mistake.
Great.
I was my brain was going ahead of me. And my website.
Listen, when we get so hooked up in with spirit, the left brain doesn't know what to do.
Right. Sometimes they're ahead of you. My
right.
website or my email address is Ada Marie at the Golden GOLDEN Oracle ORACLE com, and it's all small letters. And you can go on my website and see a whole bunch of the blogs and things that are on there. There are just dozens and dozens of them. And I have a store on there for my books, and I have a number of things on there.
Okay,
so,
and what is the address of the website?
The Golden Oracle, Ada Marie, at the Golden Oracle, I guess, .com.
.com, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm not really wise with that. Somebody else works that computer. Because
okay.
Every time I try to do it, I make a mistake. So,
well,
between answering the calls that I get from 7 in the morning until 7 at night, and then taking care of all the things that I'm trying to help people with, the computer and the printer and all that stuff, you know, it's a lot of stuff. And I can't wear all those hats, so I have some girl that does it for me. And she's excellent, and she's very, very understanding. She'll say, you know, you haven't had anything to eat or drink for 5 hours. Drink this glass of water. She'll hand me a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very sweet, I think.
Absolutely. You know, when we go into inter-altered consciousness and our connection with spirit, really, it's very difficult to do ordinary earth things.
You get slowed down, where I used to be very fast. My grandmother had tremendous sight, and she worked okay, but she told me, she said, you have to watch out, because as your sight grows, your responses on an earth level change. She didn't say they slowed down. She just said they changed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a very, very famous lady and very, very thorough. She wouldn't answer. That's what she taught me. If people ask a question and I do not have the answer, Mary, I just tell them, there's no answer coming. I'm sorry. You either have to rephrase the question or call another time. Because I will not give an answer if it don't come through me. You know what I mean? If it doesn't come out of my
Absolutely.
Sometimes it come out of my mouth so fast I can't stop them.
Well, that was one of the things that impressed me so much when I first met you. That because there are many people who if they don't get an answer from spirit, they will give you whatever comes to their mind. And
yeah, but that's not right. That's not right. I think that's just absolutely horrible, because whatever you have in your mind is not necessarily what would be good for anybody else. You know?
Exactly.
A man called the other day and he said he was going to change jobs, and I said, no. He said, what? I said, spirit said, no, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but. I said, no, believe me, there's something you don't know. So his wife said to him, you're not going to do it. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still there, probably a good thing, but I have no idea where he worked, or I have no idea where he was going. But it was very clear instantly. He hadn't said a half a sentence when the answer came flying through, no. So I was good with that. He wasn't, but I was.
I know. You know, it's so funny. When people don't get the answer that they want, they keep pressing and trying to get you to say what they want you to say. And if spirit is telling them the truth and they don't get it, what do you do?
Well, you just have to leave it, because if they won't listen, then that's not your fault. That's not your fault. Like Grandma says, if you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And if it isn't going to be listened to, then they've wasted their money asking you. And I don't charge that much. I'm not I don't charge a lot, Mary. I know people like me, and they don't even have as much sight, who charge you $500 an hour to talk to you. And you know, I charge by the hour. I charge $100, and if you only talk for 30 minutes, you're only going to pay $100. So I think that being honest, being fair, because the people who really need help don't necessarily have $500 and $1,000 and $2,000. You know, the people that really want help need to know that it's going to be reasonable, that it's going to help them, not tear them apart.
You know, it's
so
the same thing
that's my thinking, and I've always worked that
thing.
Way. And so I don't feel that it's if I don't get the answer, they're not going to get it, and they're also not going to pay me because I didn't get it. And that's
okay.
That's how I work. But other people work. I called a lady the other day because I was concerned about a client I had. The first thing she wanted me to do was give her $1,500. I just hung up the phone. It didn't fly.
I understand. I know. Even with doctors, you know, sometimes the bill that you get from the doctor is so much that it destroys all the healing that they did. You
that,
know
that they it, gave you.
And, yeah, absolutely.
My husband went to the had to go and have a hernia removed. The doctor was a young man, very, very wise young man, and he said, "Well, who is your doctor?" He says, "Yeah, you don't have a doctor on here. Who is your primary doctor?"
Mm-hmm.
And Mark said, "That's her. She's sitting right there." And this young man said, "Boy, are you lucky." I said, "Well, we come from the farm, and we have plenty of remedies in the cupboard that do just fine." And he said, "I know you're right about that, but don't say I said it."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it's true. People call me from all over the country. Lady called the other day, and she said, "There's a real problem, and we need to fix it." I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Well, we got diarrhea that won't stop." I said, "Honey, the oldest remedy in the world, and there's no question it works, is blackberry brandy. 1 ounce of blackberry brandy. Drink it and follow it with water and go lay down." And she left a phone call at 4 o'clock this morning, left a message on my line. "Holy Moses, I've told my whole family about this. We're back on track." But it's true. What did you do? What did my grandmother do when she had all these 19 kids? She didn't have a doctor. The closest doctor was in Fargo, which was like 75 miles away. They used home remedies. And that's exactly what we should be doing today, because a lot of the pills that they give you are not good for your body.
They all have side effects, and then they give you more pills to take care of the side effects.
Right, but I'll tell you, a shot of blackberry brandy has no side effect. You stop having the diarrhea, you stop having the vomiting, you lay down and go to sleep, and you wake up perfectly fine. And I mean, you can get it at the store, you know. So I just say, well, this is what you take. And one lady called me, she says, "You'd never drink that for a drink, would you?" I said, "Absolutely not. It's the worst tasting stuff in the world." Oh my goodness. But it works. When the kids were babies, when the babies were little and they'd get diarrhea, I saw her do it, and I did it for my own. She put the spoon in the brandy and shook it, and then took the back of the spoon and rubbed it across the baby's tongue, and the diarrhea would stop. She didn't give him a drink of it. She just rubbed the spoon, whatever was on the back, you know, the back of the spoon.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she just rubbed it on their tongue, and the baby said, be okay. And I never thought there was any other way to do it.
If you grow up with things, you think that's how things are. I understand that. But very few people have grown up with a great-grandmother and a grandmother who were seers like you have. You know,
I really know how blessed that my sister and Carl and I were, my cousin Carl, because we were the oldest in the three families, and we were trained by these grandmothers. So Carl and Sissy and I, we all learned this by that training. And we met at a reunion last summer, and Mark and Carl and I were talking, and Mark said to Carl, he said, "I haven't been to a doctor since we got married," and that was in 81. And and Carl says, "Well, I had to go to a doctor because I got something stuck in my throat. They got it out. I had a sore throat for a month." But, you know, because we learned at home how to take care of ourselves. And there didn't used to be these big insurance policies that you bought so you could go to a doctor. That didn't exist way back then. At least if it did, we didn't know it.
Can you give a suggestion to people who did not have the training that you have of how to begin to tune in and how to contact you?
Well, I'll tell you what I do. When people call and ask for a remedy, I give it to them. I just charge for the call. I don't charge extra for the remedy. People call from all over the world, and somebody just called from Australia this morning, and they needed a remedy, and I gave it to them. And so it was simple, you know. I said, just get two popsicle sticks and use them. They'll do the job. But, I mean, all the stuff is just stuff you got in the house. You're not out buying anything. It's just simple.
Yeah. Would you like to give your telephone number again so people can contact you?
I can do that. It's 520-896-9510. I'm reading it.
Okay. Now, we have someone who would like to ask a question.
Ada Marie?
Yeah. Ada Marie, there's someone who would like to ask a question. Can you take a question now?
Absolutely.
Okay, one moment. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, could I ask your name?
Yes, I am. Sorry. It's Tony.
Tony? Okay. Go ahead and ask Ada Marie your question.
Oh, wow. Okay, Ada Marie. Hi, thank you. I would like to know if you see marriage in my future.
If I what?
You see marriage in my future. Am I going to get married? Or am I going to stay single forever?
No, honey. The reason you're not married is because you're worried about it. You could be married at any time, but you have to stop and think about the kind of person you want to marry. You're shooting with a cannon. You sit down and make a list of the kind of person you'd like to marry and the qualities that they have. Mm-hmm. And be sure that these qualities are genuine qualities. You know, one lady married a man and he beat her up. Well, you don't want that, so you want a man who's going to be kind and loving and understanding and you can talk with and you can walk with and you can work with. And if you decide to have children, you'll raise your children well together. Those are the things you write on your list.
I don't want no more children.
Okay.
And what are you willing to give to a marriage?
Yeah, that's another thing. You have to write your own list of what you're willing to put into the marriage and how hard you're going to work on it.
You see, I do write down what I expect. I guess because I already know what I expect for to be kind, to be respectful, mutual, you know.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, respect my children, because I'm a single parent, so that's the first thing that's in my list. Respect my children. If you don't respect my children, I don't want you in my life.
Yeah, you want them to respect you, too.
And, of course, yes, and then, of course, myself. And to love my children as they're their own. And if it's a person who has family, of course, I will treat them as my own. And, you know, I know what I've been looking, but I just haven't. I mean, I have yet to meet anybody.
Yeah.
I was saying, well, maybe I'm gonna stay single, and you know, which is okay if that's will.
I don't
know,
see you staying single, but that's up to you. That choice is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you make that choice. You make it. Nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. You could easily be married before the year is out.
So it sounds to me as if you're saying the changes need to come within Tony's consciousness.
Right. They do, and all she has to do is change how she thinks slightly, and she'll be married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. We'll see how that
goes.
Okay.
And Tony, hang on, and
I'm
there's a lot more coming. So we are going back to spirit now. I'm getting the feeling that spirit wants to say something. Okay. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Oh wow.
Okay, here we go. We do have another caller. That's what Spirit is saying. There's someone else calling in.
Yes, there's a number of people there.
Yes,
what's
indeed.
The
hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi,
yes,
this is Donna. I got on a little late, but, I got stuck at Costco. I wanted to listen to the beginning of your show, so I'm going to have to listen in the archive. Oh, don't know.
Well,
Did you get the phone number and what do they call it?
I think she did. I think that's why I wanted you to give it twice. And what is your question?
Well, I'm not married, and I've been single for 7 years. I was in a long 9-year relationship. He passed away, but we had been separated. And now I just got the gist of the last part about in your consciousness that you, what, as far as I want to get married and how do I go about getting this into my consciousness where it'll happen.
Okay, that's a good one.
If you're thinking that's your desire to be married,
yes.
Well,
no,
it's
absolutely
already in your consciousness.
Oh,
now,
okay.
I suggest to you that you sit down and write out a kind of a description of the kind of individual you want to be married to, what they do, how they treat you, what they like to do, what you like to do. Write it all out. Don't fool around. Read it and rewrite it. You might have to rewrite it 10 times till you get it the way you want it, but work on it. It's a real important thing to do. And I had a whole class do that, and all the people that got married in that class are still married today, except the ones who's lost their spouses.
Yeah.
But they're healthy, they're happy, and they're wonderful because they worked to get the kind of relationship that they really would like to have.
Okay,
and they got it.
Does it come to me through magnification? Like a magnified, you know, someone to me? Or
No. You sit down with your consciousness and a pen and write down the kind of relationship you'd like to have. And be sure to read it and reread it and redo it until it's exactly like you want. You don't want somebody that's going to beat you. You don't want somebody that's going to play around on you. You don't want somebody that's too lazy to work. You write down, he's a good worker, he's a honest person, he blah, blah, blah. All those things, you write them down.
Yeah.
Okay, rewrite them till you get them all right.
Okay. Yeah.
That's important.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people have done that and then called me, and I've had to remind them of a couple things that most people forget. So, I do that. But they have to write it. I'm not writing it. I'm not them. Every person is different. Every consciousness of every individual is different.
Mm-hmm.
So you write about you.
One thing that's coming to me as you say this, it seems that writing this down is not exactly an order form or anything. Like you order something. We used to order things from the Sears catalog in the old days.
Yeah.
But it puts you into the frame of mind of feeling how it would be to have that kind of a wonderful relationship.
Right.
Is that what you're really, really accomplishing when you do this?
Normally it is, and the wonderful thing about it is when you have your letter correctly, because I've had many students do this, seems like within a year or less, that other half of the person with the other half of the letter shows up someplace.
Uh-huh.
So that's quite common to have that happen.
Does this work in other aspects of your life, like spiritual development and
spiritual
your finances and your home environment, all of these wonderful things? I understand that you help people in many, many ways to change their lives in a more positive, giving, loving way. Is that
many people come for a private retreat, and that retreat is 3 days, and in 3 days they turn their life around, and it's just amazing how just one little change in their mental process that becomes positive changes everything. I've had people over the years, I've had people come that were in a company, they wanted a promotion, and they just seemed to be, nobody promoted them, and they came for that 3-day retreat, and some of those people are now the CEOs of the company. I mean, they have worked their way from the bottom floor clear to the top of the, they're now the CEO, and they'll call once in a while and say, Ada, the flower shop's going to stop by, or something's going to happen, you know. But over the years,
another thank
people.
You to you, huh?
Yeah.
They can't thank you enough.
Well, that's true.
That's so wonderful.
And a couple of the people in there's a lot of people in New York, and there's not a lot of room in New York for kids. You know, they always have to be so. They have sent their kids in a vacation for a week's vacation here. And, boy, I tell you, those kids just blossom. They blossom. They never saw so much room. They're sitting in the kitchen looking out the window at the quail as the quail are eating on the hillside here. That's such a blessing for them. And my husband takes them out, and, you know. So I've been able to be there for many places, for many people, in many circumstances. And that makes me happy, because that means that they're going to go and they're going to use that information in their life to make their life good and the people they're around. And that's what it's about, making life harmonious and working to be in a good state and strong. And, I mean, that's all we're here for, is to help each other. And
exactly.
That's
mm-hmm.
that's what I do. I've helped thousands of people over the years. I've been doing this since I was stabbed in 47, 26 times. And
mm-hmm.
when I came out of that, which they didn't think I would, but I did, 2 years later, here I am, walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And but I couldn't
mm-hmm.
do a lot of lifting, so the doctor said to me, "What do you like to do best?" I said, "Well, if I told you nothing, you wouldn't like it." He said, "No, and I wouldn't believe it either." I said, "Well, I help a lot of people over the phone." And he says, "You know, counseling is very good. And you're so down to earth and so straightforward, you might have to explain yourself." And I said, "Well, I can do that too." So he helped me and guided me and actually tutored me into doing what we're doing now. So that was good. That was wonderful. Him and his wife were wonderful people. And they helped me get started because I didn't think I had anything worth talking about. That's what happened.
And what you're saying right now is so special because we come here to this plane to work with positive with gravity, with heavy things, with stubbornness, with obstacles, with all of the things that seem to be against us here. And my spirit guide, Stardust, calls all of these things spiritual barbells. And
well,
we need
to grow.
Yes, we also need earth teachers and the spiritual teachers to combine. And so the spirit beings from the other realms, they don't always have the positive reference to the things that we deal with here on Earth, and that's why many of them make commitments with people like you and me. So that we can communicate with them on an earth level,
right? And believe me, I was young when my sight came, and I had to learn how to listen. And I learned because without listening, you can get into lots of trouble. And I, when a little voice says something to me or an idea floats through my head, I stop and go, "Okay, now what does that mean? What does that really mean?" And I ponder it a little bit before I go forward. So,
mm-hmm.
and that's true. That's true. That's the way it works.
Absolutely.
I
agree.
And it makes a huge
difference, doesn't it?
Well, what Grandma said, she said, "Now, when something happens to you, and it's not a good thing, and it hurts you, stop and say to yourself, what am I learning from this? What am I learning from this?" And if you figure out what you learn from it, it won't happen again. But if you don't figure it out, it'll happen until you do figure it out. So
absolutely. Yes,
ponder.
I agree. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so easy early on, we were raised on the prairie. In Montana. We were raised on the great
uh-huh.
open skies of Montana where there's rattlesnakes and every other thing that you can think of. No water
mm-hmm.
for miles and no electricity for miles. You lived out, you run out and got the water and brought it in and heated it on the stove and, you know, all that stuff. And today, listen, this is something I just thank God every day for. I have a washer, I have a dryer, I have a dishwasher, mind you. I used to tell my dad when I was a little girl, someday they're going to make a dishwasher. And I got one today. And
right.
I'd say, someday they're going to make something that milks these cows. We'd have to milk cows. Someday they're going to make a machine that milks cows. Just sit down with that bucket. Just boss that cow. And I'd always say to him, they're going to make a machine that does this. They're going to make... I said, well, Mama's got a washing machine. It was a, it had a motor on it, you know, one of those old wringer machines. And I said, mm-hmm. they made that. So, Daddy, they're going to make other things, too. And they're going to make lots of things. They're going to make things mm-hmm. that mash potatoes someday. You'll see. They'll have a machine that mashes potatoes.
Oh, we have someone else who wants to ask a question. Can you take a question now, Ada Marie?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. What's your name?
My name is Anna.
Hi,
okay.
Anna.
Okay.
Hi. I would also like to know what you see for my love life.
Honey, your love life right now is zilch. You don't seem to have much of a love life, but I think because your love life depends on your attitude toward it. That's what your love life, and I have to tell this to every young person, your attitude toward love is clearly out of proportion to reality. So when you sit down and write a list about the things that you will share, the things you will love, the things that you want to become, the way you want to become them, and how you want to live, write it out and rewrite it probably 10 times until you can read it and like it. But just start writing, because that's how your love life is going to build, and those things are going to come to pass. Thoughts are things. Remember, thoughts are things. So what you think is what you're going to get. Don't write down what you don't want. Write down what you do want. That's a famous mistake of people. Well, I don't want somebody that smokes. Well, what are you even thinking it for? Don't write it down and don't think about it. Release that. Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, the subconscious and spirit, they don't go on no. They don't have a negative. It's all positive. And so,
right.
If whatever you say is this no, they think that they connect it as if that's what you've asked for.
Yeah. And
so be careful
really
with that.
Be careful. Be very careful. Be careful what you ask for, because you're going to get it.
Yes.
So, you know, but again, every individual person, and I can't say this often enough, is totally one. One, one, one. You're a one body with one thought process that can grow and grow and grow. But if you don't work on yourself being positive, and if you have, people say to me, I get depressed. I said, do you know why you're depressed? Well, I just feel depressed. I said, I'll tell you why you're depressed. You want attention. When somebody tells me they're depressed, they want attention. But they don't even know what kind of attention they want. So as little kids, they probably did everything ornery to get attention. But when they get older, they don't do that. So they want attention. Well, are they willing to give a smile? Are they willing to give something for that attention? You see a little person that's smiling, you just want to reach out and hug them, right? You'll say hi to them. You'll talk to them. And you'll see a baby that is frowning, you stay away from them. Well, it's the same way with adults. You stay out of the realm of people who are crabby and they have nothing to do with them. You see somebody with a smile on their face, you're going to say hi regardless. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
So, depression.
You know, what I'm kind of hearing from this is that a lot of times when we want something, all we're thinking about is how we feel about it.
Not how somebody else feels.
Mm-hmm. And so if I believe you're saying to flesh it out, to make it whole, to make it real, and it can't be real unless you get the other the other side of it into the equation. I mean, you can't have you. This is not a one-sided world.
No. That makes sense. There has to be. There's a front and a back, a top and a bottom. you have to be considerate of everything around you all the time. You can't be lackadaisical and not care about the things and the people around you, because when you do that, you're troubled. I have an entire library, a very large library. I think I have probably 1,000 books, which I am willing to donate. And I have not found yet anyone who would like to have, and these books are in mint condition. I've kept them very carefully all these years. So I've looked of a way to market them on the internet. I wanted them to take the whole library is valuable, and I want somebody to take the whole library. So I said to the father, I said, now, I don't want these scattered around, laid outside, or boxes sitting in the rain. I want somebody who really, really has an understanding of how important books are and are willing to take care of them. I want someone like that to be interested in this library. Well, so far, I've only got one call, and I'm not sure if I really believe this person or not, but anyway, they're going to come out and I'm going to talk to them. But it's a wonderful library, and all these books are like brand new, so I'm not going to just dump them off because I don't want them. The thing is, it's time for me to let them go to a new home. I've had them for like 50 years, and I've gathered books and gathered books and gathered books. So now I'm ready. If there was a small school, if somebody had a school and they wanted books at random for their children to read or for people to learn how to do things, a lot of our books that teach you how to do stuff, that would be fabulous. I would be happy to talk to them, you know. But I don't want them to just go out and be set outside.
Now, are some of these spiritual books? Are some of these spiritual books, or are they?
There are all kinds. There are spiritual books. There are books on how to make different things, the spinning wheel and the people spinning, and then there's books on new cars and old cars, and there's books on philosophy. I've got some wonderful philosophy books, and they're from very, very ancient people or writers. And I want them to go to somebody who wants a library, not just buy them to have books. I want them to have a library. Some of the books are very ancient, and they're so old. Some of the cookbooks are so old that they're written with two handfuls of flour and three fingers of baking powder. They're funny. They're great.
I once had some recipe, you know, some gourmet magazines from 1848 or so, and they would peel the grapes, peel a pound of grapes.
right.
Strange things like that.
Yeah, they're not strange. They did that. That's what they did then. And their food was very good, and they were very healthy. And be sure you cook the marrow and the bones, starting with the water. Don't put the marrow in the bones with the vegetables. But it's like cook the marrow bones starting with water.
Okay. That's fascinating.
Isn't that
fascinating things, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, and don't forget that a lot of times in the old days, a lot of people didn't take care of their teeth, so they had to eat soft foods and things like that, you know.
Right. And a lot of them had wooden teeth.
Yeah.
Do you know that many people had wooden teeth?
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know how they made them work, but they had wooden teeth.
I know they said George Washington had, you know, and the teeth themselves were ivory, but the gummed like part of it was wooden. It's weird.
Yeah. Right.
With a spring yet or something. I don't know.
I know.
But you
I
see,
know
you know, all of this is it's just charming and lovely and. What I hear is you're saying is that you don't want it to get lost.
No, I want people who will further it and take it with them. Mm. Teachers or anybody who is really an avid reader and can appreciate the efforts. When I've had some clients like, you know, I think they're still out here. I haven't given them away, that do collections. You're like, let's see, I got Bob Hope's what is it in here, Bob? What are you at? It's got 12, this thing has got 12, it's two sets, 12 things of his work. Frank Sinatra, his has got, oh, my God. And I've never opened them. I've just kept them because they gave them to me, and I just kept them. And I want them to go to somebody who's going to really appreciate it and enjoy it, you know.
These are people that you've worked with.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Which we can say now because when they're not hearing, when they're not on this plane anymore, we can say we worked with them.
Yeah. And they were wonderful, some of them, not all of them, but some of them. And and I don't want that stuff to just be piled in a box sitting in some garage someplace. I keep them in the house, and I keep them where they're safe. But I have a lot of those.
The whole thing is that basically you're saying that what you do with yourself is almost more important than what you ask from spirit. If you are not willing to work with spirit, why should spirit work with you when they could go and work with somebody else who is more giving and more determined and puts more out into the world? Does that make sense?
I think that when you're asked, as my grandmother said, when you're asked a question, if the answer is there and you know it, you give it. If the answer is not there and you ask for the answer and you don't get the answer, you tell them you're not getting it. Don't make one up. And if you get it, glory be. She'd say, glory be.
Okay.
She was really
so
funny.
if your grandmother were alive, how old would she be now?
Oh, my goodness, she must be 200 years old.
Okay.
I really don't know because you know, she was in Dawson, Illinois. That's where they were when they had the big fire, and they were burning they were going to burn these people at a stake. And they had to flee, and they left in the night and went west. And I have pictures of those. I have pictures on my website of the old cabins that they ended up in compared to where they lived in Chicago, where this was at.
My goodness.
It's just amazing.
Uh-huh.
So we're just kind of rattling on about things, but I can't remember what we started out with on the show.
Well, we actually started out with the meditation in the mirror to really contact your higher self.
Yes,
and
I suspect
that's what's going on, because when we work. It's important to allow ourselves, to give ourselves to whatever comes through, and
right.
to not to try to control it. I don't argue with God, you know.
Anybody in their right mind don't do that.
Right.
I mean, it just isn't, who would ever think of it?
Right.
It wouldn't be something I would think of.
No.
So.
But as if you had just a couple minutes to say to our listeners and to tell them something special that's just a little bit of a gift and a thank you for calling in with us. What comes to your mind right now?
And let me say this to every living person on the face of the earth. Thank God morning and night for the blessings you have. And when you look into that mirror, know that it is the God part of you looking back at you. And be silent and relax. You'll receive, because that's why you have that ability to look into the mirror and to see the truth you need to know. Like it or not like it, it'll be there for you.
Good.
That's
and I would
Pardon?
Say that spirit is there, but it doesn't kidnap us and demand that we do spiritual work. It waits, and spirit waits for us to come
and ask.
So the more you ask, the more you open your heart and your mind and your spirit to give and to receive.
Right. And it isn't just the giving, because the giving is easy. It's a receiving, that when things become wonderful and health becomes perfect and you are able to do things and you win the lottery or you get something, an inheritance from somebody, you need to just know that this was a real gift from God that you had worked and earned, and that you should enjoy the right of owning it. So never feel like you're not worthy of your hire. Always know that if something comes to you, it's because in the proper way, it was something that you desired or something that you had earned in a spiritual way.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that you can that once spirit gives us wonderful gifts, it is our responsibility to use those gifts.
Right, and use them well. That is true.
So as we ask for something, and then we think, oh, but I've never had that before, and maybe I don't deserve it. And what you're doing is pushing it away again.
Yeah,
you ask and then you push it away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we on an hour show, Mary?
yes, we are. Uh huh.
Oh,
this has been a wonderful, wonderful session, and I just want to thank everyone who called in. And let them know that we really appreciate them,
and we're really grateful for their ability to listen and to share it with their friends. Share what you've learned with your family and friends. It's a wonderful thing.
That's right. We mustn't allow these gifts to just die with the words. They need to be put into action.
Absolutely. So.
Shall we say love and light,
and all the blessings to
everyone who called.
Yes, and blessings to all of you, for your faith will be answered in joyful manners. So, okay.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Okay. Bye-bye.